let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanda Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanda Forbes. OnandaForbes.com is her website. Hello, Onanda.
Hello from West Africa again.
Well, I've been following your latest adventures on Instagram. Some amazing photos. It looks like an amazing trip. So give us an update. Where are you now and where have you been?
So today I'm at sea and we're actually going to be arriving in Namibia tomorrow in Walvis Bay. And really looking forward to it because we've had 3 days at sea and they've been nice. But sometimes, you know, it's just nice to get off the boat as well. And I thought what I would share with you is, you know, what it is like to sail to West Africa. Like up in, like we've come through Europe where the ports are polished, the excursions are predictable and everything runs on cruise time. But West Africa isn't so much like that. And it becomes clear almost immediately. The ports aren't built around cruise tourism, and you feel that the moment that you arrive. It is a once-in-a-lifetime cruise, and I would definitely recommend cruisers that are repeat cruisers and have kind of gone off the beaten path to try it. But it does demand a different mindset. So like places like Dakar and Banjul are busy. They're loud. They're unpredictable. Things run on local time, not ship time. And before we could even leave the port, you have to wait for clearance from local custom authorities. And that didn't always happen on schedule. In one port, we were delayed almost an hour before the excursions could even begin. But oddly enough, that unpredictability kind of becomes part of the experience. Nothing is staged and it's like real life unfolding around us. But logistically, it could be rough. Like when we went into San Tome and Principe, they actually said, the cruise people, because when we had to tender, number one, and number two, the exit from the tender up to the port level, like the ground level, it's very much narrow, high stones. So some people with mobility challenges were recommended, actually told not to go. And you have to be expected of that because the port was underdeveloped or undeveloped for what we're used to in Europe or the Caribbean. Sometimes taxis could get lost. If you were one of those brave souls that thought, oh, no, I'm going to rent a car, check your car. Like you might see that there was a spare tire, but are there the instruments to change a spare tire, you know, with that spare tire? Because you could actually miss the boat if you can't change your tire, right? Mm-hmm. The vehicles aren't modern. Infrastructure is probably lagging behind what most cruisers are used to. If you were that independent soul, it sometimes wasn't easy and you have to be flexible. So you have to accept that changes or plans might change or not happen at all, but that's okay. That's just what it is. But when you get here and you visit the ports, one of the most powerful aspects is the history, like visiting, standing in front of the door of no return at Gori Island in Senegal. That's pretty deeply moving. It's not just a sightseeing stop. It provides some context and kind of reflection of what history kind of is or mm-hmm. was. There's also a stark contrast between ship and shore. So on board, life is comfortable, like modern amenities, good food, a sense of, you know, goodwill, camaraderie between your passengers. When you step off the ship, you're climbing into open air vehicles, heading out on dusty roads. So it's different, right? Like the ship's stable and safe, where exploring places may not be as polished or easy. And I'm enjoying my trip. Like mm-hmm. I'm definitely getting to see places I've never seen before. And honestly, Randy, I never thought I'd come to a place like Togo before, right? Whoever yeah. thought that
well,
I'd
even
go to
the,
a voodoo
the fact
ceremony.
That, you mentioned the door of no return just kind of smacks you in the face. Right?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And it was interesting too, because we also went to a voodoo ceremony, and it's an actual voodoo ceremony. It's like a
So mind your
there's
P's and Q's when you're there. You never know.
well, they kind of illustrate, they don't actually do it like a chicken sacrifice, and
Oh.
it's like, and then so people who are prone to loving animals or squeamish might not appreciate that, or they would show how a fake fight in the voodoo ceremony between the men, or they show perhaps like some of the libations would make you kind of feel like they look like they were drunk and stumbling. So it was very eye-opening for me, it was anyway. And then we were in this village, and so all the little kids were quite interested in the tourists that were there, and one lady, so you have to be careful of this, had some candy. So she pulled out this bag of candy for a couple of kids. Then all of a sudden a lot more kids showed up
Yeah,
and
that's
they're pretty
you don't want to be
frightening.
doing that. You're asking for
No.
trouble doing that.
Right. So it's part of the cruise. It's not for everybody. It's not for travelers looking for luxury at every turn. Because when you think of Regent, it is luxury. And you need to have a decent level of physical fitness, patience, and an adventurous spirit. And also health prep matters too, right? So I have a personal medical kit that I have. Like I nick my finger. So it at home it wouldn't mean anything, but here I made sure like we had polysporin and a Band-Aid, and you had to be careful with that. And even with vaccinations, like people did get sick, so you have to be realistic about where you are and what resources you have. But then things like Ghana stood out. Like the inland excursions gave some real depth. Visiting Cape Coast tied so much of what we had already seen earlier in the journey. The guides were good. They're probably not as refined and polished as perhaps other guides that you had in Europe, but they explained it with confidence, and they're welcoming and organized. But they don't sugarcoat stuff. Like they tell you exactly what it is, because slavery or the history of slavery is definitely part of the fabric of the places that you're visiting. Also, so today we're heading into Namibia. So you're seeing that the landscapes are going to be different, going to see more marine life. So for the whole time I've been on board since mid-December, I've only seen one school, and I don't know if that's the right word, school of dolphins the whole time we've been here. And then you're going to have a little bit more time at sea. And then, so we haven't hit Namibia yet, but I have been Namibia before, and I love it. It's great. I'm going to go to a new place. It's called Walvis Bay. It's the captain says that you're going to see like sea lions sunning themselves as you enter the port. You're gonna see massive dunes kind of rolling straight into the ocean, and the wildlife will be better, or will be more, not better. I didn't mean it that way. And then even like so new this year, or I guess it's 2026, new in 2025, you ha now need an E visa to come into Namibia, and you cannot leave the ship if you don't have it. And then there's a mandatory face-to-face inspection that happens for all guests. That they have to go and have a conversation with the customs officer, and that's also for arrival and departure. So things that I would say Regent is really good about getting their guests prepared. Also, you have to have a yellow fever card, and you have to show that yellow fever card way back in Barcelona before you even started the journey. So you, and if you don't, you can't come on board, right? And you don't want that, because
No,
that's
exactly. So did you know all
absolutely.
this before you got on the cruise? I know you're a travel expert and things like that, and you're the one that people go to organize this stuff. So did you know all this prior?
Again, kudos to Regent. They were sending you multiple, and I mean multiple emails about these are the visas you need in the different places. These are the visas you need to get on your own. As a Canadian, I didn't need the visa for the Gambia, but I did need it for Ghana. But they, you could do it through Regent, like just pay a fee and they arranged it. Mm-hmm. But for Namibia, it's a new process for the country. And for us, it was pretty straightforward. But for other guests, the site kept on crashing. And one of my guests, they went on a land African safari through Botswana. And you had to go through Namibia, and they had all the documents and all of it filled out, all the forms. But again, it's so new. The lady, the customs lady in this little beautiful little shack on the side of the river said, no, I want everything filled out new. So it is so new. Yeah. So be careful. And it does cost you money. And I did see some people in the internet cafe scrambling to get their e-visa for Namibia because they wanted to go ashore. And it was, the site wasn't reliable, but you just have to motor on and try and get it done. Right. So it's, so you do have to prepare not only logistically, but mentally as well as physically, you know, coming here. And again, it's not like I've never been a cruise. I'm going to go on this cruise.
This wouldn't be the one for a first timer is what you're saying.
No, no. And then the cruise will end up in Cape Town, which will be amazing because, you know, you're going to see sites like Table Mountain. You're going to see or refresh your memory about history with Nelson Mandela, which is quite amazing. And depending on where you stay at the wharf, it's a beautiful city something to look forward to. Again, we've been to Cape Town before, but another part of Africa that perhaps you haven't been to. Like, again, people may have, you know, gone to Egypt or Kenya or Tanzania first. But traveling down the African coast, you know, kind of gives you a broader view of how diverse the continent really is, whether it's culturally, geographically, or historically. It's not always comfortable. It's not always smooth, but it's very interesting and worth doing for sure. Yes.
I bet. I'd be interested to know some of the comments from other guests. Have you heard or overheard comments? Because if you weren't expecting those conditions at port, then it would be an eye-opener, and some people might not like it.
Absolutely. Yes. But I do have to say, these are well-traveled cruisers. I was just chatting with a lady. Actually, she's from Niagara in Ontario. And before she came on this 25-day cruise, she was on a 16-day Azamara cruise. So these people have been our cruisers, and they have the time, the resources to do it. I don't know if this is a cruise that you wouldn't want the assistance of a travel expert or professional, because you do need to be on your toes for different things that you need to prepare for. Africa, even if you're going on a safari, you need to have somebody that knows their stuff, making sure that you're prepared. That's my thoughts anyway.
Oh, for sure. The last thing you want is to forget something or didn't know about something, and now you're stuck. You don't get to do what you want to do, or you don't even get to go on the ship, like you were mentioning before.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine arriving into Barcelona, not having your yellow fever card, and you said, no, you can't come. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it will be super easy to just run down to the local pharmacist in Barcelona and get your yellow fever shot.
Yes, I don't think so either. The ship's not going to wait for you.
No. But, you know, as we enter the final stages of our cruise, I have to say that Regent has done a very nice job of getting us to each port. We didn't miss a port. We've had good weather. Today's a bit choppy, but, you know, nothing horrid at all. Like, you are on the open seas. Mm-hmm. And so it's always nice when you don't miss a port, I think.
Yes.
I remember one time I was in the Caribbean and it was a hurricane, so it was legitimate. And we couldn't go to Grand Cayman. And it's like, oh, I want to go to Grand Cayman. And it's like, oh, I have more days at sea. And sometimes that extra day at sea is kind of like, oh, I don't want to spend more days at sea. I want to go on port.
Well, that used to happen as a crew member. I remember in Nassau, because Nassau has got a very narrow entrance. If you've ever
Yes.
been there, you know this. And so there were days where the winds were too high and it was too dangerous to enter into Nassau. So we would just skip it. And that happened quite frequently, actually.
Right. So again, another thing you have to be prepared for. It's, like your itinerary may and could change, so you have to roll with it, basically. With the waves, you're rolling with the waves.
Well, ex excellent.
Yes.
Well, now you got Namibia tomorrow. Is that what you said?
Yes, that is correct.
And then after
And
that, it's onward to South Africa.
right, so one more day at sea, and then we head into Cape Town. And actually, it's an overnight as part of the cruise itinerary where you are the ship is your hotel for one night before it actually physically ends, as far as the end of the world, holiday extravaganza that we're on. So that's kind of neat too. So always, I think too that you always pay for it in some way, but it's nice to have the ship as your hotel
Yeah,
as an
absolutely.
overnight.
Now, are you
Yes.
spending a few days in Cape Town or are you heading back to Barcelona? What's the plan after that?
So part two of O's Snowboard 2026 adventure, we're going to the Canary Islands. Back to the Canary Islands.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, no. I'm hoping Wi-Fi is better.
I'm sure it will be. Well, it's an amazing adventure, amazing trip. People can follow your posts on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes, and you can check out her website too, onantaforbes.com. Good stuff, Onanta. Here's to smooth sailing.
Absolutely. Take care.